Tonight we have a special show, and we have Smarla Dreyfus in the studio, Sarah Lane and Pitt Schultz. I'm Diana McCarty, and we'll be talking about School, which was commissioned by the Folkestone Triennial with the generous support of the Outset Contemporary Art Fund and the Arts Council of England. And it's currently being shown in the Haus der Kultur in der Welt until tomorrow. School is a large-scale audiovisual installation immersing the visitor in the life of Tel Aviv secondary schools. We will start with a short interview with Smarla Dreyfus, with Pitt Schultz and Sarah Lane.
Maybe we first talk about how the exhibition is set up and how it looks, or what can you see?
What can you see and what you cannot see? That then brings up other images. Mm-hmm. School, the installation school, has 7 rooms and a corridor, 7 lessons and a school break. So each room has a lesson in it, and all the rooms are synchronized. So all the lessons start and end at the same time, and at the end of which there is a school break in the corridor. There is no sound in the rooms when there's a school break in the corridor. And then it goes back again to the lesson start again. So they all just, it works simultaneously. It's all documentary recordings of lessons in schools in central Israel, in Tel Aviv, and maybe 1-2 cities. They are edited from 50 minutes to 23 to 26 minutes, edited very carefully because I'm very aware of how I could make the teacher say something she didn't. So I had to really take repetitions out in order to reach a kind of a length that is bearable, that manageable for a viewer that comes to the house and maybe don't have enough time. The setup of the space is such that it's a dark school, it's a dark space. Back in each room, you have a lesson in 5 speakers, surround sound, that project the voice field of the pupils and students and the voice of the teacher. So if you sit in the center, in the sweet spot, you are sitting amongst the pupils. You are both inside and outside in your consciousness of the scene. Every utterance in the classroom is translated into English text on the screen, and it's placed on the screen where the same, in correlation to the place where the sound comes from, where the pupils actually spoke. The process of making this work, following a very long process of permissions from the Israeli Ministry of Education and a lot of limitations of what I could and could not do. I could not never film images, for example. I preserved the privacy of students and teachers, and I had to not say where it was recorded and say that it is randomly. Actually, it is indeed randomly recorded. I never had a picture of what was recorded because I was not allowed to be in the room, not me or the soundman. So the process is quite important to the result. So we don't have an image, but basically when I constructed it, I was excavating the sound scene, you could say, and finding out what was told, from which direction, who was talking when. I set up the 7 rooms in a way that they are in proximity to each other, so the lessons contextualize each other. I selected 7 different subjects, different voice teachers, different class dynamics. Each room is like a macrocosm, like mini society, together like a macrocosm of society, you could say. And they present different subjects that are essential to our understanding of our civil life. And, you know, this is very specific to Israel, but I think that the darkness and the setup and the no image, it's intended to throw you, when you are immersed in this and absorbed in the lesson, to throw you back into yourself, your own memories, your own subjectivity as a student in the past, or maybe a parent of a student, or to think, what is education? How does it happen in my own society, in another society? So the reason to eliminate the image was very helpful because it opens up a lot of different images rather than fixing it in the image of that particular school or that particular school in Israel. The schools, it's like an example. While it is very specific and embedded in the political realities that is, it actually, the idea is to open it up in a way that it becomes a symbol, or it becomes, you can pick up a lot of things there that you can relate to in another culture. It crosses the boundary into another culture via the voice.
When you come in from a sunny outside, and then at first you have to adapt. To me, it was like a children experience, like a haunted house in German, Geisterbahn. Mm-hmm. When you go in and then it's a bit intimidating. Even you expect some kind of ghost jump in your face, or you get, I don't know how you felt. So the first thing is like adapting to the environment, and then you expecting something which happens. And not everyone has the best memories with school. So this kind of haunted house, ghost, school experiences, you know, some people have dreams of writing their exam for the whole life. How do you think of these kind of aspects of formatting persons in school, you know, like, you know, the society which forms persons in school? And everyone has this experience of being a student and also having resistance to the teacher. What the pupils say, there's a lot of little heterogenic little commentaries which are forming like a situation. The teacher is talking, but there are all kinds of small commentaries which are very funny sometimes, and kind of they create a certain text which is not just having one meaning. Can you say something about what you want to create with this parallelism of narratives in terms of forming subjectivity?
I think you could see in school that the indoctrination, so to speak, there's a lot of dichotomies presented by the teacher, but at the same time, you have a lot of resistance to it or questioning, and it comes from this thing that children say things that adults don't. They tear it apart, they come up with questions, you have the jokes. And something that happens actually in school that interested me was the notion of translation. I mean, the ideology, it's there, but it's also completely being kicked by the kids, you know, and sometimes it being supported, it depending, you know, their fear, when they express fear, you could just see how much they are subjected to that in that sense. But when they actually question, you know, the religious or not religious, the state and religion, individualism, conformism, how, where did he have money to buy the barbershop? How did he have money if he didn't work? We don't expect these questions. And I think it shows you a very alert mind that doesn't just accept what they're being told, on the one hand. And the other thing that happens in terms of narratives was that, you know, I translated every utterance, I said, right? Everything that was actually uttered, in the all these things, and plus the little comments that you mentioned. All this becomes one text on the board. It's a new text. And translation is fascinating for me in this work because it happens on many levels and layers. The teacher interprets a text, comes from the textbook, and her words come up. Then she also disciplines students. So you get a moment where she says, and God tells Abraham, she's reading from the Bible, and they said, Kai, can you please be quiet? And that becomes part of the text. And then somebody said, oh, my bra got open. Oh, no. The children also interpret the story. Then they have their own comments. So the way they behave as a social body is very interesting. And all this becomes text. It's like a new text and a translation. And then there is a translation of the space, which is got the principle of rooms in the corridor. But actually, I try to make it very abstract and very almost inverted space, in order to create something that you can relate to, that puts you in a condition of spectatorship. Or what does it mean to be in that space, to listen to these voices as you, as yourself? To me, the work does not exist without the visitors, because the interaction and the implication and the affect that happen, and the fact that you are inside and outside, you are visiting, it affects you, and you're inside and outside this field of voices. And sometimes you're not sure, did you hear it in your head, or did you hear it here in the room, and where are they? And this ghostly thing, it's about trying to pinpoint or focus on the place in yourself, the visitor. I'm talking about the visitor. Mm-hmm. Visitor, which is a viewer, listener, spectator, visitor, yeah. And how you inhabit that space. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to make you feel comfortable. I don't think that schools are necessarily comfortable places, by the way. And it meant to give a kind of a restart moment, you know, that you... something starts echoing inside you. And that the idea was that something will, after watching a little bit of this lesson on that lesson, even if you don't watch for the full length, something starts echoing inside your own head.
Yeah, and you can also walk around. You can navigate the whole installation, of course. And you can go into the different situations and you can go back into the hallway. And I find this a bit like a disembodied experience, as if you would be a ghost yourself.
In
your own memory, all the different rooms are parallelly running, of course. That was very interesting to navigate also acoustically after you adapted to the situation.
For example, this moment that it's very, very dark in the beginning, and it's kind of, you have to trust the work. You have to say, okay, so she wants me to get in here. There are seven rooms. Something will happen, but it's fine because nobody will put you in a... This moment that you go in and it's very, very dark, and you have to trust the process, and you start looking, you see the patches of light, and gradually you actually start seeing the space. Gradually things lighten. It's a process that happens inside in the view. It's part of the viewing of this work that you become accustomed to the darkness.
It could be understood as resembling an ideology about school in general, that you go in and slowly, slowly, bit by bit, you are enlightened, but obviously that's not necessarily what school does to you.
I don't know. I think every experience in life enlightens you, even if it's not pleasant.
Yeah, maybe. I found actually that the context of the school is in Israel, you cannot really strip off. There's lots of things which are kind of general for schools and which also reminded me of my school time and which probably everybody had, but which wasn't the most interesting aspect for me on that work, because school as a construct was for me as a pupil not really an interesting thing. It's more like the system, thinking about the school system itself, that is like an interesting political space because it's public, but it's funded or supported by the state, so an ideology is always behind. And I don't think that people are not aware of that or have to be brought to that point that they think about that, that school is actually, no matter in what context, always like an ideological space. But seeing an exhibition like this in Germany, of course, throws one back on the German history and how the German educational system deals with Israel, the past, and also the present politics. So that is like very present in it. Even it's not mentioned anywhere, unless by little comments, maybe aside. So it's not a focus of the exhibition or of the piece, but it's very present. A thing that for another context, if you would show it not in Israel, not in Germany, but anywhere else, it would be a completely different
work. I agree.
That was one thing. And the other thing is that system-wise, and education system-wise, it's very interesting how it resembles not other schools, but actually exhibition making. Because you make the soundscape, you're sitting in the soundscape, but you don't understand anything. So that's kind of the thing that you really experience as something that is open and you can relate with. And then you have this board on which you have the actual translation and also the positions of the people, like the pupils are smaller if the voice comes from the back.
You're talking about the letter sizes of the translation on the screen.
Yeah, the projected screen, that's like the blackboard, but it's inverted black, like it's a blackboard with a white text on, but it's projected. Your projection or your concentration of what happens in the classroom, and that is kind of giving the context, like teaching me what I should get from the text I'm listening to, but I don't understand. So I have to follow you anyways. And that's how school works. And that's also how exhibition making works. And you have to follow these channels. You have to go into the rooms. There's something on the wall. And that thing on the wall is actually the thing that somebody took from a space or from a context, condensed it and put it into a product that I then can consume and understand and have to relate to. So it's kind of a transcription of an information that I have to take. Or not take.
You don't have to take.
No, or not take, like in school. But that was for me.
In school, the door is closed and you have to be there. That is very different.
That is different, yeah. But that is the thing that you take as the product. Like, here's the information, make something with it, because that's the thing that you can, from a cultural background or so, you can understand that. It's usually, you don't really think about how the ways in the museum are put or anything. You go there and you look at the product on the wall. And I found that interesting to like how school and exhibition spaces are actually compared or mirror each other in the work. That I was more thinking about how I'm educated by exhibitions and artistic mm-hmm. presentations than to my own school. That was like the less interesting comparison. It was much more interesting to see how I'm educated in HKW, in this exhibition, by the way how they make exhibitions or what the works they invite.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what that, how they kind of educate me with the art they put on, rather than how my school worked and how, and the content of what I was learning there.
Uh-huh, okay. I think that school is kind of slightly different format. School has a very specific format. It's actually an experience work. So the work begins at the door. It's not an exhibition of screenings. The work begins at the door. So the corridors and the light and the fact that the rooms are open for you to create your own trajectory in the space. It's completely, you decide where to go. I never tell you. You kind of decide if you were bored by something, you go by something else, and you can bump into it again in your trajectory. And I believe, maybe it's only my imagination, but I think that when you walk through such space and you have 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there, 5 minutes here, 3 minutes there, and then half an hour there, you accumulate something in your head in that space. And this is where the corridor is dark, because the idea is that you are in the same environment. You are inside the work. You are the work, actually.
Yeah, as the pupils are also the school. I mean, that's not... Mm-hmm. I just meant the difference between this... I mean, school is more than just the board and what's written there, but that's like something what you... what is offered to you in it, and you can take...
I think what I didn't... you're talking about me kind of indoctrinating the visitor or something?
No, but it's... I mean, it's resembling also a school format. You sit there, there and, is chair a voice, and you've got the board, and the board is the actual condensed information, and you can then say, okay, that's what I get from it, or you say...
I don't know if the board is condensed information. The board is over-information, because the board contains every utterance in the classroom. It's not concise. I add every voice that you hear, you also see... And that's the idea, is because, you know, what you see, what you hear is, to me, it's like an overload of information. But maybe for you it's condensed, I don't know.
I liked it very much because it, on that level of, especially the room where you learned Arabic.
Uh-huh.
And then you had this kind of triple level of, you know.
Languages.
Of translations. And, mm-hmm. you know, you as a German entered a room where kids from Israel are taught Arabic. And then there are so many layers of translation. And I'm coming from computer science a bit and media art. And of course, there are these new interfaces of the idea of the, you know, this translation, simultaneous computer
speech to text.
And of course, this is like a dream of computer scientists to have something like that. But people still have to learn languages, and it's still like you cannot reduce this element of experience. Mm-hmm. And this is what I thought in this moment. I said, even if you would have these machines, you would still have to have schools. And this is when I was in this room, I thought about these interfaces. And so, or the other room was like the geography where it was about the rivers, and you learned about the rivers, but there was also metaphorically about. The land itself, and that the borders are just set by humans, and the end the rivers are crossing the lands, and that had a good kind of poetic element of political teaching.
She says, yeah. The water just crossed. They don't. The human factor doesn't interest them. They just cross the border.
Right. Mm.
I found these two rooms also the most interesting, and interesting as well was the different way of teaching, because the geography teacher is very, like, she really has the control over the, like, she's having a really interesting conversation with the people, and they're kind of confused and asking these questions, and they get in these fears, like, this river, the water actually comes from Lebanon, and then how, like, who controls the sources, and do we drink that water? And suddenly then there's this really interactive, it's a really good discussion. And then in the Arabic, it's like a quite straight teaching lesson, and the kids are actually not really interested in that. And that's another layer where they have their own conversations in the background that have nothing to do with the subject at all. So,
well, I think the Arabic teacher is not really teaching a subject. She teaches long and short vowels. I mean, this is another way of teaching, and I included it like that because it's another form. Like, history is a dictation. So the voice and voicing happens differently in each class, voice and voicing, the way it is voiced and related to. So she has these repetitions, you know, she just teaches, and you hear shapes of sounds, really. It's about sound. She goes from sounds into concept.
I have another final question. I find school as potentially political space interesting because, yeah, it is a state institution usually, or most of the time it's a state institution, but also there's always, I mean, it's enabling people to do things because they can gain knowledge. So it's in a way, and also, I mean, there's a long history of school protests and stuff because people are together and they learn together and they can develop a resistance against things or not, as also as pupils, as kids that are to be taught by somebody who's an adult. So how important is that in your work? School as a political thing from a state, it's a political institution to ideologize people, but also, like, how could it be turned around? Is kind of thought into the work, or is that just like a random people can think it in that way.
That the school presents dichotomies, and then the children tear these dichotomies apart in some ways. You know, they taught a subject and they respond, they ask questions, and they also, in a citizenship, they fight amongst each other. So they are, I mean, I said earlier that they are like mini societies. Each classroom behaves a little bit different, has a different dynamic. Of course, there's always the subject kind of going. The teacher is kind of trying to control and keep the line of the subject. But they are a society amongst each other. So you could imagine that they grow, that forms their subjectivity, their acts of rebellion, if you like. And you could imagine these conversations continuing also outside of the classroom. Of course. Yeah, I think schools are a very basic part of society. And schools are political. It's not, they can never be non-political, I think.
Okay, I think that's a really wonderful way to end this little discussion. Smada Dreyfus, we thank you for coming and taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you so much for the time.
Now, I thank Sarah Lane and Pitt Schultz for participating in the discussion, and people should take the time to have a look at school in the next 24 hours in the Haus der Kultur in der Welt.
Hallo Noam, Noam Gorbat am Telefon. Noam Gorbat on the other side of the telephone now. She has seen the exhibition and she's a documentary filmmaker herself. I just shortly wanted to talk with you as one of the visitors of the show, how you perceived or saw the exhibition, the actual work, school.
Hi. In the beginning, I felt weird because I grew up in Israel and had my school in Israel, so I heard like very familiar noises, but everything was very, very dark. So I had like first a weird orientation. I think the minute I really sat down and watched one of the classes, or actually listened to one of the classes, I started to get into the atmosphere, which was also a bit weird because it reminded me a lot of my childhood. I found it though very abstract and very open, so I didn't fell only into my memories. Also, I could open it a bit with imagination and maybe reflect some things, how I can see now the way I also studied, how the education system was also affecting me, from like being able to see the other, like to see it from the side. Some things were similar to what I remember, some were also different. And it was a little bit a weird space for me still, even when I came out part of memories, but also I didn't really know where I am and or what I was at the moment was watching or listening to.
How was it for you that the translation and the having a screen reading the English text and then mm-hmm. like reading the English text of what happens in the space and then being in the space and experiencing it, because that is for me or people who don't speak Hebrew kind of an abstract soundscape that can only resemble slightly school, but it can't really call up memories or an idea of how school works.
I kind of liked it because, like I said, it was a big part of the generalization maybe of this piece. And I kind of like the solution that actually the only image that we see is the words, and we can either try to find a connection with the narrative or like what's happening, or just capturing those words, knowing it's a documentation of a class. So this is actually a part that I kind of liked, also this translation solution that is coming out a little bit of the traditional translation. The way we got information in school was so affecting of the way that most of the society is functioning, and most of the people are questioning afterwards if what they got in school was correct, and it's kind of the basis of knowledge and way of thinking. And then to see it again, it's interesting to remember also what was the source of some of my information and also connections, because there were many classes, so the broader picture of like a mix of information that been told and gave, but also they had all a very certain line of thinking and giving this information.
When did you see it? Did you see it in the opening or on a day when there was lots of other people as well? Or did you see it in this black isolation, just with yourself setting as I saw it today?
I was totally alone. And I think it was a screening or something parallel, so I was, I was alone in the space.
I would have been interested how it is to experience that in a group.
Yeah.
In a class situation, kind of. Do you have the feeling that about the political side of it, which is kind of a bit, I mean, it's there, but it's removed. Did you have the feeling that it's the ideological part of the school system? Was that very present?
No, it's not. It's also like how Israel sees itself. Or, I mean, it's always there is a tendency to celebrate popular way of talking about things. The other ways are always getting much less attention or place. Mm-hmm. So in that way, it was very nice to see that it could be also work that also if it talks about the Israeli. Because I know also like films about the Israeli education that talks about a lot about the memory and way of remembering. In that case, it was also a bit more open because she was visiting more like different classes. Then it was an option to see more inputs and information or subjects that been talking about and not just like what we like and know already. Like the mainstream popular themes about Israel.
I don't know.
what do you mean with ideological part? Like of generally a school system or
generally, okay. Generally and I don't know for you as having been in an Israeli school.
I also talk to people that didn't have any association of any school, just different things and different conversations they had and classes and so on. So it's kind of nice. So it's coming from the Israeli education, but it doesn't necessarily there. So it can maybe also approach a broader subject than just the Israeli education system.
Yes.